now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guests are Delta, Whiskey, and Logan. Delta, Whiskey, and Logan are all my labs. They've had extraterrestrial encounters. They've had experiences. What we're really going to talk about a lot today is the alternate reality, alternate timeline, time travel aspect to my lab operations. This is a subject that has not really been discussed before at any length. Now I know these three very well. You can say in a way that I've personally vetted them. I trust them implicitly. Their personal stories, the inner nuances and details which they've confided in me, I've heard from others who I likewise trust implicitly, and also it resonates with some of the experiences that I've had. So I can assure you that these three people here, Delta, Whiskey, and Logan, are 100% sincere. And what you hear is what they've experienced, and their observations and perceptions about all this is critically important, because we're at a point where it's possible these timelines are starting to merge and coalesce, and we may have some freedom of maneuver, some ability to detach, pull out, go one direction or another as far as the timeline is concerned, where we can potentially create a reality that is more suited for us. But at the same time, we have to be flexible enough that wherever we may wind up at any given time, we still retain, for lack of a better term, our operational capability. So without going too much into your private personal information, please introduce yourselves, starting with Logan.
Hi, everyone. Second time on the show now. Glad to be on here yet again. It is an honor. Now, like, this is very dense stuff, so I mean, I wouldn't really probably reiterate too much that I've sort of said too much before, but as James has already mentioned, you know, I've had a lot of experiences that sort of defied a lot of anything that could be analyzed, could be psychoanalyzed, could be, you know, anything logical, reasonable, anything, you know. So it really didn't fit anything until I did come across James's work and Eve Lorgan's and, you know, the like. And that was the only place I could find that was anything even remotely close to what I had, and it just gave me a few answers from there and helped me actually try and dig a little deeper. Otherwise, I probably would have written a lot of it off.
Delta, without going into too much detail about your personal life, tell us a bit about how you came to an awakening of the different kind of experiences that you're going to describe here shortly.
Hi, everybody. It's nice to be back. We actually are friends for quite a few years now. And every time we talk, there's a new layer of what's happening and on the surface or in a hidden world in a way. So there's a lot to share, and it's an interesting friendship to have when you are surrounded with a lot of people and you realize really nobody's having these kind of experiences of thoughts or memories. And then you find your tribe in a way, and it just feels good to be able to share openly what I remember, what I experienced, and then whatever that fits, it fits. That's all I can say. It's nice to get a confirmation, and if I don't, I got to a point to say it's okay. But I think my goal is always to be helpful to others. If it's some way answered something or make them think or, you know, spark them in any way, I'll be more than happy to do that. So thank you for having me, James.
Thank you, Delta. And I will preface this general discussion by talking a bit about the MyLab experience. Many of our listeners and viewers have an idea of what that is about, and some of our viewers and listeners are MyLabs. But the main difference between a MyLab experience and what we're going to describe, and for some people, they are one and the same. They're two sides of the same coin, essentially. In general, a MyLab is someone, my definition of a MyLab is someone who is a legitimate alien abductee first and foremost. This is a person who's grown up in a multi-generational family, which has had generations and millennia, countless millennia of alien genetic manipulation, of soul-catching manipulation, of soul-splicing manipulation, of karmic manipulation, if you will. It's not just something that happens in one lifetime, a one-off. It's something that continues lifetime after lifetime in many cases. Now, what we're going to talk about is the MyLab experience, but superimposed upon that is the fact that some of us have had experiences in what seem to be, and we're not going to talk in absolutes necessarily, we're just going to go by what we perceive, what we feel, and what at a very deep level we know to be the truth. And some people, again, will have to make a decision on the information. What we're trying to do is get this information out to those people like us who've had similar experiences. That's the target demographic. This is not necessarily a discussion for people who are not having this experience. As far as that goes, this is for like information purposes only. And you're free to accept or reject it. But the information we're sharing is specifically designed for people that are having these experiences. Now, what is an alternate reality timeline jumper type experiences? It's an experience where someone goes to sleep on my lab in our example, and then during the night, they find themselves either in a reality that looks very similar to their own normal reality, but with slight differences, or sometimes it could be a radically different reality and all shades in between. And sometimes it seems as if we've been to this reality, these other realities, on one or more occasions. There seems to be an inner consistency in these realities. The people that we interact with in these realities, they seem to know us. We seem to be able to navigate our way around. And quite frankly, some of these experiences in what appear to be alternate realities and alternate timelines, there seems to at times be a covert operations aspect to it, like we're sent there or our oversoul sends us there at a higher level purpose aspect to do certain things, obtain information, acquire intel, even bring back information, even bring back materials, let's say. And a lot of this stuff, we're probably going to save the really hardcore stuff for the member segment. We're kind of going to talk about in generalities in the first segment about the alternate reality experience. The first person I'd like to start with is Logan. I've had Logan on the show before, and Logan touched on the fact that his experiences in alternate reality dovetail with a lot of the experiences he's had in the normal waking consciousness, even to the point of his place of work for many years. There's a counterpart to that in this other alternate reality or realities. And his involvement in this other reality, in this other in the same corporation, seems to be deeper than what he's undergone in this one. Although in this reality, there still seems to be some deep black MyLab element. So, Logan, please, whatever you're comfortable sharing in this first segment, talk about not only what you perceive and experience as the alternate reality experience, but also talk about the job that you've shared with me, the corporation that you've worked with, and how the twain seems to meet.
Yeah. It was quite strange because I guess for me, the point where I probably began to think more of it was probably a good nearly 10 years after I actually stopped working there. You know, like I, you know, you can imagine that, you know, on and off, anything that leaves a bit of a mark or any sort of job that you might have had previously or any previous memory you might maybe dream of. But this seemed to really defy any logic when, you know, years on, years on, I was dreaming of the place pretty near constantly, all the time, you know. So initially I wrote it off. After a while, when it continued on into years, I started to pay a bit more attention. I started to make more notes and keep track of it a bit, you know, just to see if anything progressed. And it did, you know, like, you know, and factors that were there, which, you know, like I could give you probably a better example, you know, ex-workmates. All right. So you can imagine the people that you're surrounded with at a certain point of your life. You know, if you'd worked in a place, not only did I see some of these people, I saw new people, you know, which would seem to make sense, you know, that I haven't been there in years. Some of these people, I loosely keep in touch with. So I know that some of those people are still there and I've dreamt of seeing them there too. the ex people that, you know, the ones that were there during my time, but then there are new people that I saw. But the real kicker for me was there were ex-staff that over the course of the years there, and that could be a topic for debate in itself, but some of these people did die of all sorts of different illnesses. You know, there were cancers, there were, you know, heart attacks, all sorts of things in people that, you know, it had a bit of a trend to it. You know, there was a lot of people getting sick, you know, over the years, you know, and I could probably ponder now, you know, what could have caused some of that. And that's why I said that could be another topic in itself. But it was enough for me to see some of these people that I know that are no longer here. They're dead. But when I've dreamt of that place, I've seen some of those workmates very much alive, you know, and you know, as if nothing had happened. And it used to really jar me, you know, waking up and then sort of thinking, hang on, that guy's not alive anymore. But he was there and, you know, he wasn't even sick. There was nothing, you know. And so I did see things like that. I did see differences in their personality that they did not have here. You know, there were very subtle things, you know, subtle things about their appearance, subtle things about their relationships even, you know, all sorts of stuff, you know, little subtle things that you really have to pay attention to, but you would know when you've known these people in this waking life, you know, so you know it's a bit off, you know, that's not what they were here. So each and every time I kept dreaming of that place, I did see, as you said, different versions, you know, different versions, not only of them, but of myself. You know, I did get a sense of my own appearance being that slight bit different in various ways, you know, and then my role being slightly different in varying ways. But, you know, the more obvious one was the site itself. The site itself, even though the actual workplace was the same, their complexes did vary, you know. So in one, like I did say in my last show I've had with you, you know, there has been like a large complex, you know, that had pretty much a bit of an underground sort of thing to it, which it didn't seem to have here, at least as far as I knew. And then there's other ones that I could not see that, but the location was always that little bit different. Every time, you know, and even sometimes not even in the same country as what I'm in, you know, to where I was. But each time, you know, the consistent thing was that this organization was the same. You know, the links that it seemed to have were the same. The work that they were doing seemed to be the same. You know, the only thing that varied was their reach into other fields. And maybe whatever funding they may or may not have had, you know, that's the only thing that seemed to vary. But a lot of the core staff were the same. That's what I did say, you know, I did see. And, you know, I just seemed to be doing different roles myself. But yeah, it was very strange, you know, to see this this different dynamic play out each and every time. You know, the only thing that I could probably say as well is that even though the work being undertaken was very similar, despite all these different sites, despite all these different realities, it seemed the goal was still somewhat aligned, despite these different realities. So, you know, one could ponder, you know, what if there was a level of communication across all of the realities, you know, that they were able to integrate it. So maybe in one reality, they could focus on one set of research, and another, they can focus on another. But it seemed like, you know, it worked cohesively. That's what I seem to think. And I sort of seem to think, well, that's a bit unusual considering it is over different, in at least in my experience, what I saw, you know, seeming to be different realities, you know, but there was no overlap. There was no, you know, like tail chasing or anything like that. Whatever work they were doing seemed to work pretty seamlessly.
Just interject for a second. Logan. Without giving the game away without, you know, whatever you're comfortable sharing, what in generalities, what seemed to be the goal or mission purpose of the corporation that you work with here and also in these alternate reality or realities? What seemed to be the general trend, the direction they were going?
Here, from what I could reflect upon now, knowing that there were military contractors involved, you know, multiple military contractors involved with the place, all sorts, you know, like all the big names that they sort of mention if you read articles, you know, I do see them now. If I see an article, I think, oh, that's right, yeah, they were involved with them too, you know, so, you know, a lot of the bigger ones, I could name the names, but again, I don't know if I really should, but, you know, for those that know, a lot of the big military contractors, a lot of the ones that are to do with aerospace, all this sort of stuff, it was all of them pretty much. All the big ones that I come across in any sort of media that they mention. And they were very closely linked for many years, you know. So to me, it seemed pretty obvious, you know. It seemed pretty obvious that if that's what I was seeing in a conventional way here, then it seemed to make sense as to the funding in the other realities, and whatever other work they were doing. You know, it seemed to make sense if the big names were involved. The only thing that I would probably add as well is that it seemed to go beyond conventional government backing. But then again, here, you know, in this reality, it did appear that way too. Even though the government was actually, you know, contributing funding and having a bit of a hand in everything, they weren't pretty much the ones running everything either. So, you know, even though they had the hand, you know, someone else was behind, you know, all of it, you know. And all I can say very conventionally in retrospect, in this reality, the money kept coming. That much I knew, you know. In this place wasn't meant to stay afloat for very long. And, you know, I remembered speaking to people that had been there longer than myself, and even they had sort of thought any life cycle, you know, that it should have run out, you know, within a good 10 years maybe, you know. And it was forecasted by many people that's all, you know, they would be, you know, that's as long as they would last. But, yeah, they're still going today. You know, and that's well after I've left as well. So, and if anything, from the little bits I have kept track of, if anything, they're expanding. You know, they're branching out into other areas that they weren't when I was there.
Thank you for sharing that, Logan. And we'll get back to you shortly. Yep. I've got definitely more questions and observations about that. Delta, please share a bit about how you came to a realization that some of these experiences were involving other realities. And again, I want to emphasize, folks, that Logan, Whiskey, and Delta have all had MyLab type experiences in this reality. They are bona fide MyLabs. They are bona fide alien abductees. So I want to make that clear. Some of them have had encounters with a number of different ET groups. So please, Delta, you've got the floor.
Oh, thank you. Oh, wow, I don't even know where to start. I'm trying to organize this in my head to give some key points to have a background. So I do see myself in different shapes and bodies. I have many, many, many forms that I appear. I can appear as a little gray. I can appear as a Nordic, which was a memory I have from about May. This year, I was looking myself in a mirror in my dream state, and I had white hair, white powdered skin, and I had blue-green eyes with white eyelashes and even bangs, you know, and like I had a style, and I remember playing with it going, you know, my consciousness here was blending with that one, and I realized I'm both, and I'm more than that. So in some way, I could say I have many names, I have many shapes, and no shapes and no name in the same time. You know, we're eternal source, and we have many incarnations. So what happens is in this reality that I get contracted by ETs as well as government to do certain jobs. I don't necessarily enjoy all of them, but I do feel like somebody got to do the job of being an infiltrator or a spy getting informations. One of my recent jobs was to become part of the pedophile ring, which is pretty current at the time with the Save the Children stuff. You know, they usually say when you have a dream, you wake up, and if you don't write it down, it kind of immediately dissipates and it's gone. So I like to categorize dream states. I call dream states, they have texture. And if you really pay attention, you would know if this is a probable reality. Is this a parallel reality? Is this you in another dimension? Is this you here doing a job in different body? Or you're in astral, all of these frequencies have a different texture to them. I would have a recall of my missions, and it can be 5 years later, I will remember them to a T. They don't go away. That's not a dream. If that was a dream, I would not remember that. Usually when I switch into whatever body to do whatever job, mind you, I still stand by my words that the whole universe works in favors. I would say DNA, it's a form of payment or something to trade. It's tradable. Favors are number one tradable service. So I get contracted and I contract other people. People ask me for favors. I ask them for favors, meaning if there's a job I need to do and I don't have access to that, I might have people I've done favors for that I can call upon and say, I need you to do this part for me and I will do the rest. It's still my mission. I still have to do it. I'm not sure how to describe it. I just know where I'm in that body. I am still me in a core essence. I have abilities. I have senses. I understand the background of the story, even up until that point, something I don't consciously remember, but I know what's happening. I know who's who, what's going on, and why am I there? I'm very mission-oriented. I have all the information stored in my head. If I'm dealing with the ETs, I cannot consciously access the memories because it would be a security breach. Because if I think of them, they pick up on that. So I just know my mission part, and almost consciously and purposely, I have to not think about certain things because if I do, they can tap into that. So since we talked a few times, I have about two or three dreams that, again, I can run it by how that looks like to me, but they look very different. Only
yes.
Rarely.
Please elaborate on them. Yes.
Okay, so there's a times that I'm doing my missions, let's say for government, and then this consciousness here would somehow be awakened in that body. And I will become aware that I am here with this name and this life with these people, this family members, and all of that entails that is your life. That has nothing to do with your other lives. You also have people you know and things you do. And sometimes they will blend. And I would almost have, if you want to call it a glitch in the matrix, where both of my consciousnesses of two life or remembering I have this life, but I also have this life. And yet I'm so confused. Wait, which reality am I in? Because I'm supposed to play a role in this life doing this. And yet I'm in that life doing that. And it can, sometimes, very, very few times, I pretended that I'm not me from here. And just went along with it to see, wait a minute, maybe it will spark a memory. What am I doing here? What is my job here? But for example, in April, I had a dream. Well, first, before April of this year, 2020, a year and a half ago, I had a dream where I was meeting with the government officials that I do not see their faces. They're very good with blocking out faces, so you do not remember exactly. You can't recognize them. I mean, I can energetically recognize them, but I cannot by face. And I remember being given information on a pedophile ring and pedophiles that are going to come up and that things that need to be done about that. And I remember being shocked, saying, oh my God, I didn't know it was so bad. I knew it was bad. We always knew it was bad, but not really how bad it is. So I was being briefed on that and I was just floored. And therefore they have contracted me to do a certain job at the time that I could not elaborate because they tend to block this stuff out for me, security reasons wise. So I left it be, and it was a year and a half ago, and I'm thinking, well, that's interesting. Why would they brief me on it and not give me a job? Well, April 28th of this year, it's a long dream, but it was very detailed, and it was amazing how you can turn into a being you have to be to do the job. Like, if I had to look like a nine-year-old, I would look like a nine-year-old, and I would be in that body, and I would do the job. So, as usual, they put me in the scenario where I am taken to be in that ring, because the only way to get out of anything is to be part of it. You have to be captured. You have to be in it in order to understand it, to get yourself out and everybody else out. So I was probably 9 or 10 years old. I remember being in a giant room that looked like a mansion/facility. It was so big. It was so huge. It had many rooms. It even had underground rooms. It had parameters that were being supervised by people and cameras. And we are sitting on this pretty nice, like, room, like, suite of sorts. We're on the edge of the bed, and there's five of us, and we're all butt naked, all girls. And I am looking at the screen that's in front of me. So it's just a regular TV screen, you know. And as I'm watching it, I'm seeing where the cameras are, because if it's flashing red, that means that access or exit of room is available. If it's flashing red in certain rooms, that means it's not available, and where the parameters are, like exits or, you know, entrances. Therefore, we can see we cannot get out. This thing is very highly guarded. And as we sitting there, we also seeing a list of names of people that are logging in. Think of it like a chat room that will do a bidding for a child. So we're sitting being watching as we're getting bidded on. And if we're being bidded and we get to be sold to highest bidder, we are literally are connected to the room that we need to go to, and we'll flash green, meaning you have to get out of that room and walk whichever, and it gives you a map where how to get there. You need to get to that room. So I'm sitting there. The way it was working is that people there were 66 years old, had a priority as a pedophiles. So 66, they had to be 66 or more years old to have priority. After that, there were 40-year-olds and then 20-year-olds. So as they log in, they log off, they literally bid on you that we go to highest bidder. And I'm sitting there looking at this poor girl's shaking and trembling and knowing what's going on, because we were instructed once this happens, you go over there. But they also on purpose gave you parameters of what's locked out, meaning don't even think about escaping, because you can see it's highly secured. There's really nobody from outside that can get in. And if you're inside, you really can't get out. Well, of course, being who I'm being, I just had this really strange ET ability to look at the names as they were popping out. And it's like a weirdest thing, but I would look at their names, and if I lock into the name and sink into it with my eyes, I can actually read their background info, meaning who they really are, what is their real name, and where they're located. So my job was really to figure out all these people's names and memorize that it's a bit of an ET ability. And also, as they were bidding, which girl went to who, so I can manage to get them and get them out, because I need to get out too. I'm in the same pickle, except the girls don't know I have the ET ability. So I'm the only one sitting there pretty calmly, knowing, yes, I might be abused, I may not, but just depending how far it goes. So it had multiple purposes. Like, I had to be part of it in order to understand it and see where they're at, including facilities, how they're guarded, where the exit, where the entrance is, and how the bidding works. Seeing them, I mean, it was people every few seconds logging in and bidding on a child. So that, to me, is pretty current. And for some reason, right after that same night, same, I woke up and I remembered it vividly because I've just kind of went through it. I fell back asleep. Eventually, I had a second dream, which I call it my bounty hunter dream. Again, I don't have dreams that correlate to this earth much, meaning I don't have dreams on my family, or my friends, or my coworkers. I work for a company for 5 years. I have never had dreams of my coworkers. The only time I would have dreams of this reality is if there is a new contract happening and I'm changing a job. So what would happen, I would meet the same people in my dream space before I get the job and make the agreement with them that I'm getting this job and they agree to it. So at that point, when I wake up, it's just a matter of time when I will come across them and they will recognize me and I will recognize them. They will do it, of course, unconsciously. I will do it consciously. And then we all like, it's a smooth ride and I just get the job or I move or whatever it is. It's only in a means of surviving here because we have to do what we have to do. We have to work, have a job and all these things. But majority of my dreams, I would say 90% of my dreams are being in different bodies and doing different jobs. For example, I was a bounty hunter, which I am not even sure if it's on Earth because it doesn't seem it, but it could be. It could be underground, but it seemed a little bit off-centered, almost like a Star Wars scenario where I'm hired to be like a bounty hunter and I'm chasing this girl who has information, and I need to know who are her people that she's hanging out with, who is her crowd. And so I approach this, I'm going through the hallway, which could have been either underground or on a ship even, because it's dimly lit. And I'm coming up to this door with this giant guard, and he tells me I have to leave my weapons at the door if I want to enter this place. I say, okay. And I look over, there's a giant basket, which they all seem to carry swords. And by the way, I'm carrying one too. So it's maybe one way of approving weapon at that time. But it's very modern though. So that's the trippy part. It's not like we're back in a different reality of a lower frequency that's passed. So as I leave my weapon, I'm following, this girl does it first, and I'm going right behind her. I go inside, and I would describe it as a nightclub slash movie theater. So there's these beds everywhere, and these boots, their beds are within it, and they're having this huge screen in front of them, and they're watching something. And but they have waitresses, and they have food, and the people are half naked. You know, you can be making out in one section, talking on another. There was a bar there, so you can get a drink and sit at the bar. So it was a really weird blend of that. But my job is to follow her and see which kind of booth she goes into and who she's hanging out with. As I walked in, of course, she's noticing that I'm right behind her, even I don't have weapons. I'm pretending I'm watching the screen or whatever. It looked like a movie, but it wasn't. It was more than a movie. And I mean, information-wise, it wasn't just plain entertainment. I'm not sure what it was. And as she, you know, stepping into the kind of darker parts of the room, I'm still following her with my eyes, pretending I'm not. And that's another thing. In that job, I know who I am. I know why I'm there. I'm not me from here at all. I have no recollect. I have the same soul essence in a way. It's still me. I just know what my training is. I have abilities. I know what I'm doing. I have a mission. And then as soon as I figured out and saw faces of who is she hanging out with, I can just retract and go out and I'm done. But then again, I can be in a 5-year-old's body. I can be in 10-year-old, 16-year-old. I can be in ET. I can be parallel Earth. I've been in improbabilities there past, and I'm human. You know, I remember probably a dozen of human incarnations, past and future. But past that, I remember realities that are probabilities they're not human related, they're more ET related. So it's a blend of the two because we're so multifaceted, you know? So and there's always a lesson somewhere in there too. You know, I do get visitations all the time from good guys and the bad guys. I mean, I had my guys visit me about a month ago, and they gave me pretty good reminder of what's going to happen and what's happening right now and how to keep my head straight, because I was kind of losing and going, oh God, where is this going to go? And I remember my God coming up and saying, hey, I know you don't know where your destiny is and how it should look like. You don't even know how it will end, because it will end how you visualize it. He said, you have to keep the end game in mind, meaning how you want it to end. Doesn't matter how it looks in the middle. Doesn't matter how it looks like on the outside. Doesn't matter how you will get there. But if we hold a picture of what we want to see as an end case scenario for the earth, for yourself, for the people, that's really how it's going to end. So there's some, you know, it's a blend. Again, I have visitations from the good guys, and I have dark factions of the government visiting me and checking up on me and making sure the asset is still viable, I guess. So I remember they're just such a different frequency that I categorize them in my head. This is my subconscious processing this life. This is a future probability. This is parallel probability. You know, this is astral. Like, I just categorize them in my mind because they all have texture to them. If you really pay attention to that texture, you can kind of go, oh, that's what that was. So.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Delta. And we'll get back to more of those themes later. I should add, going forward, that quite independently of you, Delta, another MyLab friend, a mutual friend of ours, I won't mention this person's name, has told me quite independently and quite recently that this person has also been going on ops to rescue children. And it's, I haven't had, you know, a chance to talk to her in any detail yet, but in the recent past, her ops had to do, at least some of them, with rescuing children. Now, that much being said, many of us that have had MyLab experiences have talked in the past, and I've talked in the past, that we've gone on rescue missions at times, and some of the children we rescue don't even seem entirely human at times. They could either be an ET, some kind of mutant hybrid. I think some of it is psychological testing to some degree, where the controllers or whoever sent us in want to see if we're willing to risk life and limb to rescue children or, you know, babies that are quite, by our standards, quite ugly, deformed, mutated. And I've spoken to some of my labs. They felt, I wouldn't say a sense of displeasure or distaste or disdain, but they felt kind of awkward carrying around what amounted to a deformed, ugly, mutated baby, right? I hate to put it in those terms, but that was the feeling I was getting from others, that it was a child, it was innocent, whatever it looked like didn't matter, it had to be rescued anyway, right? Which, you know, at a very deep soul level, I think we can all agree with that. That, you know, the young of all species, of all races, are innocent victims in all this and need to be rescued. That if there's a chance to rescue a perfectly normal human-looking baby and right next to it, a deformed, hybrid, mutated baby, if at all possible, rescue both, right? So that's an important point to keep in mind. I'll talk a little bit about what I've experienced and what I have perceived. Okay, so from a normal, quote-unquote normal, MyLab perspective, from an early age, I was being taken to these medical facilities and these military facilities and basically worked over. Some of you familiar with my story, some of my close friends know a lot more about this, but I'm just giving a general background for those that are just getting into the subject. So over the years, and for a variety of reasons, there's a karmic aspect, we are the sum of all of our parts. Delta just alluded to the fact that she has the ability, or whoever, whether from an oversoul perspective or from a control perspective, is tasking her with these operations. Within the context of those operations, she has the ability to assume a guise or to bring her operator mentality into the body of an, in our example, a young girl or whatever the case may be. So that's part and parcel of the mission profile, if you will. And so in my case, because of my past lives, many of them were, quite frankly, of the warrior variety. And because in this life, I grew up a Navy brat. I've worked with Naval Air Forces. I'm a student of military history from antiquity to the present time and going into the future, because I'm very interested in alien technology and alien weapon systems, quite frankly. All those things rolled up within me to make me who I am. And whoever utilizes me and exploits these capabilities, know-how, understanding within me, they put me in situations and scenarios where all of that could best be utilized, exploited for particular purposes. Some of my MyLab experiences were quite mundane. I would be in a conference room seated with a bunch of military people, some quite high ranking. At times, my normal James Bartley persona would be in the back seat. I would be seeing out of my eyes, well, the eyes that I'm sharing momentarily, with whoever is pulled into the front altar. And whoever is pulled into the front altar seems to have some degree of rank. The persona is treated with some degree of deference and respect, because there are times when whoever the front altar persona is that's been pulled in front and I'm in the back seat, understand, I cannot hear the dialogue. I cannot hear the discourse. So when I am speaking and others are listening, including high-ranking military personnel, it's as if I've got mufflers on. I could see through my eyes that there are high-ranking officers and military personnel that are literally hanging on to every word I'm saying, listening, and feeding back and talking to me. But because of the fact that my normal James Bartley consciousness has been put in the back seat, if you will, and someone or some other alter aspect of me is put in the driver's seat, I can see what's going on around me, but I cannot hear. And I have no idea what I am saying, if that makes any sense. Because there's numerous times I have clear memories of this, of standing or sitting right in front of people and they're listening to me and they're talking back to me as if I've paused and now they're replying and telling me things. Sometimes there's some bleed through. Sometimes, a lot of times, like Delta mentioned, everything is blocked off. So that is like the briefing, debriefing aspect of this. Other times I found myself in military environments and gigantic hangars on runways, on board naval vessels, what seemed to be submarines. And I think some of those vehicles, craft, conveyances could be screens for like craft, like spacecraft, if you will. Because I've spoken to people, numerous people now, who have reported seeing me on board ships, on board quite large ships, gigantic ships. So there's that aspect of this too, the ET aspect, the off-world aspect, which dovetails with this whole alternate reality, alternate timeline aspect. So I was just laying the groundwork that, excuse me, the James Bartley you see in front of you has sometimes been accessed and exploited and utilized in these MyLab type ops. Sometimes it could be quite mundane. Like I said, you could be sitting in a conference room. I could be in a military facility, military offices, desk spaces. There are military personnel in green VDUs, green fatigues, enlisted and NCOs, non-commissioned officers type looking people. Sometimes I perceive to be officers and higher ranking officers at that. And in some of these experiences, I am completely drugged out. I'm just there. I might as well be an ashtray or a lamp because I'm just there in the corner, completely drugged out, my head lolling around. And there's literally just a few feet away from me, people seated at a conference table talking, high-ranking officers, as if I'm not even there. I'm just, like I said, an ashtray or a lamp shade or, you know, a TV monitor or something. Because let's never lose sight of the fact that although sometimes, and I wouldn't discount this possibility, that sometimes, and we have to factor in that there's probably, my guess is, more than one control system, right? More than one handling group. And some may see us more as just slaves and mere assets, and others may want to utilize us in noble, what I would consider to be noble deeds, like Delta just described, rescuing children, okay? In some of my MyLab experiences in this reality, in an operational sense, I found myself in war zones. I've been training a lot, military-type training. My friend Lorena Smith, who I've had on the show, she and I have gone through a lot of joint and team training together back in the 90s, a lot. And the military training varies. It could be like a marine environment. It could be a land environment. It could be an urban environment. Some of the training seems to be of escape and evasion nature. You have pursuers. You're being pursued through a war-torn city, and you have to evade them or risk capture. Some of the places that I've been to, I guess I can say this, in what seems to be this reality, is because of post 9/11, a lot of the conflict and a lot of the wars that have gone on, I've been in places that seem to resemble the Middle East or the Persian Gulf. And I think I've been there in more than one state of being, right? I think that I've been there either in this body, in a cloned, healthier, more vigorous, perhaps even younger body. And I think at times, like Delta alluded to, I'm in some of these places, but in a frequency just out of phase with the regular environment there. So I can observe without being observed. I believe that has happened also. And I've been on astral operator missions. In the early days of post 9/11, myself and numerous others were sent as astral operators to go looking through the tunnel systems that the Saudi bin Laden group had built on behalf of the U.S. government, which had been utilized over the years. And then when they decided to make Taliban / Al-Qaeda the bad guys, then they had to root out the bad guys that had taken shelter in those tunnel systems, right? So they sent astral operators like myself in there to locate them. And then once we did, then they would send in earth-penetrating ordnance to take them out. Lorena describes this as well. She was part of that mission profile, and others that I knew from that were part of the same group training that I've been to. Okay, that's just the grounding of the MyLab stuff that I'm pretty sure happened in our reality, in our timeline. Where it dovetails, and I must say also, the infiltration aspect that Delta alluded to is very much a big part of this, in this reality and in alternate realities. Because I've been utilized, and I'm not going to go into details about it. Certainly not in this segment, maybe in the members segment, I don't know yet. But I've been utilized to infiltrate certain off-world, let's say off-world operations, right? One can only speculate why. I have a pretty good idea why I was utilized. I've been utilized in this reality, and I believe in other realities, against specific specific targets, specific nation states, specific organizations. And I have ideas and theories about that as well, which I'm not going to go into at this point. Now, as far as the alternate reality aspect of it, it seems to me that in some of these alternate realities, and I've spoken to a number of other people, jumpers, for lack of a better term, I call them timeline jumpers, alternate reality jumpers. What happens is we're put in a reality that may be slightly ahead of the time stream of our reality, the time continuum of our reality, or slightly behind. And it varies. It could be a lot behind. Some of the My Labs I've spoken to, alternate reality jumpers, describe being sent to what seems to be a version of Earth in the 1950s, right? And others have been sent a little back, not too far back. The way they describe it to me is, okay, now we have the iPhone 8 or whatever iPhone iteration we're at now. But in the reality they were sent to, a particular reality, they were still using the iPhone 5 or the iPhone 4. So things were a little further back in that reality. A lot of it had to do with infiltration, going into places, R&D centers, think tanks, universities, military facilities, and quite frankly, technology transfer, stealing documentation, stealing technology. And it seems, and what we're going to talk about more in the second segment and in other panels going forward, because I see this as kind of an ongoing process because of this merging and potentially branching out, creating offshoots, if you will, of the main Aboriginal timeline, which has been heavily altered. I've talked about the Mandela effect. I wish they had another name for it instead of the name of a commie person like Nelson Mandela, who killed countless black people in South Africa. But anyway, that's what they call it, so I'll call it the Mandela effect. And I've seen radical change in just this timeline, right? To give you but one example, I've talked about this before, there is now a video purporting to show a concert I was at on October 25th, 1982 in Oakland, the Oakland Coliseum Arena for the rock group The Who. And either it's this psyop that's aimed specifically for me, which I'm not so arrogant, egotistical that someone would go out of their way to create a psyop just for me. I don't think no one's going to go to that much trouble, if you will, right? But at any rate, the concert...
James, I had a similar incident. I told you about it when I was on a cruise ship and I wasn't in this body. So whether it's a psyop or not, we can be in many places at the same time.
Yes,
and people
yes.
remember us.
And people remember
just
us.
Saying. Yeah, and she told the whole incident that I don't remember, but I was apparently there. Just saying.
There is validation. And our mutual friend of Whiskey and I've had her on the show, Ashira. She talks about that, the timeline blending and how people, her neighbors were seeing her when she's supposed to be away on holidays. Her right. neighbor is seeing her showing up with a different hairstyle and, you know, as if she never left, right? So those things do happen. And I know other people who, they keep running into people that tell them, I met you, we talked, we had this discussion, you told me about your family.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah, that
the
happens
whole
to
life
you.
Story. I've never met the person.
Exactly. So, folks, those things happen. The ability to transfer our consciousness into either clones or the fact that because of this time jumping, time travel capability, we literally are, there's counterparts of us hither, thither, and yon in a temporal time sense, right? I mean, literally aspects of ourselves are in, counterparts of ourselves are all over the place. But I just want to make a quick point about that Who concert. They were not dressed the same. The set list was slightly different. The crowd was not the same. The crowd that I was part of was going crazy. You could almost hear crickets in this crowd. So the long and the short of it was the concert that's on YouTube now, purporting to be the same one that I went to, is not the same one. So it's possible that even as far as 1982, there was a divergence that took place. Okay. And so just to round out this first segment, I want to make a couple of quick points. In these alternate realities and these possible future timelines, and I'm trying to differentiate between what our higher self does, our oversoul does, gives us a sneak preview in our dreams of what may be coming down as a potential possibility in our reality. And that includes tsunamis, that includes cataclysms, nuclear wars, alien invasions, second sun in the sky. And I've had all of those. Also zombie outbreaks, zombie epidemics, if you will. I've had that in this reality and in what I believe are other realities. So just to round out this segment, I'd like to point out that what's going on in other alternate realities has a definite bearing on what's going on in ours. Not only is there technology transfer going on, but as Logan has pointed out, and I've heard this from others who've gone into other alternate realities, there seems to be a mutual understanding between whoever the dark controllers are in those realities. They seem to be able to liaise, or it seems seamlessly intertwine their efforts with the controllers, the dark controllers of this reality. They seem to work in parallel, right? And hence the utilization, the exploitation of people like us to go in and infiltrate in these alternate realities because of the direct bearing it has in our own reality. And like I said, I feel that I've been utilized to infiltrate off-world programs for other nation states in this reality and also in this other reality and also in this other reality or realities. I've had a glimpse similar to the futuristic dreams I've had in this reality, but I've gone into these other realities where I've battled zombies, where I've dealt with lack of a better term, organized crime, let's say, and a lot of infiltration. And it's a trick to be able to differentiate in your mind, did it happen in this reality because those things are going on, or did it happen in another reality? And I think that part of us has an innate kind of navigational system that lets us know, okay, it looks, for the time being, for what you're perceiving at the moment, it looks like you're back at Earth, but no, you're in this other alternate reality, and you're on an op. Yes, it seems like a MyLab op, similar to the MyLab ops you've been back on Earth, but you're in an alternate reality. So the rules and the game is slightly different, and we must be aware of that. There could be an entire different support structure. There could be different contacts, different powers. The abilities and the powers that are manifested by MyLabs in alternate realities, it's important for us to try to reintegrate to be able to manifest those abilities here in this reality. I think that we can do that, okay? So anyhow, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment with my guests, Delta, Logan, and Whiskey. If you like what we do here at the Cosmic Switchboard Show, if you believe what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.